I'm excited to be here today. I was so excited about it. I didn't sleep all that well last night. And if I fall asleep during the sermon, will somebody come nudge me? Wait, my wife's here. She usually does that, so y'all don't have to worry. I know we just had a prayer, but it would help me if we prayed again. Would you join me? Father, we come before you as your people. We come to celebrate your life in us. We come to celebrate our life in you. We ask that you just bless this time, that you pour your spirit out, that you anoint it. We thank you for the work that you are doing in our lives. We thank you for the work of your son, Jesus, on the cross, that he came and died for us, that we might have life. In your name, Jesus. Amen. I want to start this morning by kind of maybe giving you a little focus about where we're going. And it comes from Scripture. And there are two scriptures I like to start with. One of them is Psalm 19:1, which says, "The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. But there is no speech, nor are there words, yet their voice goes out through all the world." And the other scripture is, it's kind of a palindrome of that. It's Romans 1:19. And it says, "For what can be known about God is plain to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible power and deity have been clearly perceived in the things that have been made." So they are without excuse. We ought to be able to see it in God's creation. So we can look. What both those scriptures say is we can look at God's creation and see who he is, see who we are. And you see that time and time again. Today we're going to look at what I consider to be maybe the least of creation. But it says in Genesis that it's the very thing we're formed of. God formed man from the dust of the earth. But if you look at that scripture, if you back up just a little bit, it says a mist went out over the face of the earth. So it wasn't just dust. It was dust and water. It was mud. It was clay. And that in that, where it talks about God forming man, the word there is potter. It's like the picture that you get in that scripture verse is like a potter bending over a wheel. And it comes up at other times. It probably was the same word that was used in the psalm that Dan quoted earlier. There's a unique relationship between water and that dust. That when the water's poured into it, an electrical charge is set up between the clay particles. And no other liquid substance will do that. It makes the clay plastic and moldable. And the personality of the potter ends up on the pot. And I'm going to come back to that later on. It says, God formed man in his image. God's thumbprint is on you. Wet clay is so sensitive that I can put my thumb into it and you can see the fingerprint in that clay. God's personality, God's fingerprint is on you. Let me turn your attention to another scripture where that word, you know, that statement about the potter and the clay is there. And this is from Jeremiah 18:1. And God says to Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house, and there I will show you my word. So Jeremiah goes down there, and I want to show you what Jeremiah saw. What it says in that scripture is, as the potter's doing that, God says to Jeremiah, says, I can do with the whole nation of Israel just as the potter's doing with this piece of clay. Can you imagine? Now, God was fussing about the nation of Israel and what they were doing, but he was saying he could change that. He could do something different. But imagine what God could do with this congregation, what God could do with us personally, what God could do with this city or this nation if we take the time to let God mold us and shape us and transform us and make us into what he wants. Of course, now in that scripture, it also says that the potter didn't like what he was making. There was something wrong with it. There was a spot that didn't work, or it was coming apart, or maybe there was too much water in one part of the clay. It was a little soft or a little firm, and so he decided to start over. I want to go through those steps. There's steps in that process. I want to go through those steps and show you what's going on, because I think there's some lessons there for us. And the first step is the clay has to be centered. Y'all can see that pretty well. That's good. I look pretty good too, don't I? Got a lot more shine on my head than I used to have. So. It's that inner glow coming out. The first step in that process is the clay has to be centered. And that's what it looks like to be centered. It's not out around. That takes some pressure. That takes some effort. It takes some effort on our part to be centered. It takes time. You can do that in a lot of different ways. I think it's prayer and reading scripture, and maybe doing some retreats. I'm not sure an all-night retreat always helps that much, but I told the youth if they fell asleep on me, I was going to throw clay on them. But it's got to be centered. And I think it has to be a regular practice. The next thing, it's not enough just to be centered, is it? You got to be open. You got to be open to what God wants to do in your life. You got to listen and respond. And the next step is called a pulling process, and that's a thick piece of clay that's pulled through a narrow space. I used to tease that it was my children that pulled me through a narrow space and made me grow. But it can be a lot of things in life. And most often, they're often painful. They're hard. It takes some effort on our part. But it brings about growth. The next step is the shaping process, and that's that's kind of how we have to live our life. It's a balance. It's a balance between what goes on the inside and what goes on the outside. Now, I can shape this piece a little bit on the inside without any balancing pressure on the outside. But if I just try and do that without anything going on the inside, things get out of control pretty quick. Y'all ever have that happen in your life where you don't have anything going on the inside and you got a lot going on the outside and your life gets out of sorts? Y'all haven't ever had that happen? If I keep going, it comes apart. And I have to start again. I have to back up. Those are those spiritual practices that I was talking about earlier. Right now, my spiritual practices, and I started one of them a couple of years ago, and I didn't really realize it at the time. I knew it was going to kind of be a spiritual practice, but I wasn't sure how long it was going to go on or what I started doing. I started 2 years ago, August, and I was going to do it for a month. And I transcribed the scripture in Spanish. I've always wanted to learn Spanish, and I have a saying that so quiero aprender español, pero mi cabeza no está muy receptivo, which means, I saw somebody go, what's he saying? So I want to learn Spanish, but my head's not very receptive. So I started doing that. I started transcribing, and I'd always wanted to go through the letters a little slower, but I was pastoring a church for several years, and I didn't really have time to do it. So I got up, and I write one page, and I write big, so it's about maybe average 7 verses in Spanish. And I started in Romans, and I did it for a month, and I thought, well, I'll just keep going, but I'm going to stop at Revelations. I don't want to get into that stuff. There's too many big words, and it's. And then I got to Revelations, and I said, all right, I'll do Revelations. But I'm not going to do Matthew. I don't want to do all that genealogy stuff. And I'm in Luke now. And I've learned some Spanish. I was still, my other saying is about my Spanish, is mi español es muy peligroso, which is my Spanish is very dangerous, because it's gotten me into trouble on a few occasions. But I've also had some insight where God's spoken to me. And when I was in Ephesians, and this is kind of early on, and I woke up one morning and I was saying the words to a passage that I'd written the day before. And the passage was, Dios es luz, no hay oscuridad. God is light, in him is no darkness at all. And I ended up using that passage, and I was taking a Spanish lesson. My lesson was that day. I ended up using that passage and talking with my instructor about God. Dios es luz, y no hay oscuridad. And then recently I came across another one in the beginning of Luke, where the angel Gabriel says to Mary, darás a luz un hijo. You will give light to a son. I thought, that's so beautiful. What a way to put that. You will give light to a son. And talking about giving birth is giving light. But this clay, when I make a piece, and all the pieces that I make are functional. They're made for a purpose. And that's what God says about us, that he made us for a purpose. He makes us in his image. His thumbprint is on us. His mark is on us. And he makes us for a purpose. And it may be a bowl, it may be a pitcher, it may be a vase. But unless it's been through the fire, and if I don't pay attention, it gets off sometimes. Unless it's been through the fire, it's useless. It can dry out. You can put it outside in the sun. But if it rains on it, or if you pour water into it, in a very short amount of time, it's going to dissolve. But when it goes through the fire, it'll last thousands of years. God made you for a purpose. And his desire is to give you eternal life. He's in the process of shaping you. He's in the process of making you. He's made you in his image, but he's continuing to transform you and make you into his image. He's given us each one a uniqueness like no other. And the pieces that I make are like that. When anybody that makes something by hand, their personality ends up on it. My personality ends up on these pieces. And I can, if I'm familiar with a potter's work, I can tell whose work it is. Just walk in a room and I can pick it out, because the personality of the potter ends up on the pot, just like God's personality is ending up on you. as you live out your life, doing your worship, your spiritual practice, your giving, your helping other people, God is shaping you in His image more and more. As you go out this day, remember that. Remember how unique and special you are. Remember how God is shaping you. Remember that sometimes you got to go through the fire to be transformed. Would you join me in another prayer? We thank you, Lord God, that you are pouring out your Spirit into our lives. We thank you that you are transforming us, that you are making us in your image. We thank you that you are going to continue that process until you call us home. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.